The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Juliet Davenport, founder and chief executive officer of Good Energy. Ticker there is Good. That's a good ticker, Juliet.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's one of the things that I always say when I'm looking, you know, I hear about different companies. Remembering the ticker is one of the hard things, but Good is a good one there. So you've just released your interim results, and of course, last 6 months, unbelievable 6 months, no one would have predicted what we've just been through, or we're still going through to a certain extent, but we'll dig into those in a bit. But before we go into them, Juliet, if someone's not familiar with Good Energy, can you explain what you're about, please?
Yeah, so we're a business that's was founded 20 years ago. We started off actually just focusing on, we had a 100% renewable supply business that supplied renewable power to domestic homes and businesses. And we've developed over the years to include a gas business that delivers green gas to homes and businesses. And now moving forward, we also look after renewable generators. So people who generate power in their own homes, on their rooftops, or in their gardens. And actually now we're moving into more innovation and energy services. So that is where we're supporting people who want to have an electric vehicle at home. They're thinking about decarbonizing how they do their heat in their home. So we offer a range of services, but that kind of gives you a trajectory of how we've developed and what we offer today.
Yeah. And I suppose when you started in 1999, I said 20 years ago, it was very niche. And now you're becoming more mainstream, and sort of the mainstream coming towards you, I suppose. So what made you, what inspired you to start doing this then?
So my background is I studied climate science for a period. And then I looked at lots of different ways you could get involved in offering solutions for climate change. And actually, business for me was the most exciting, and offering something to consumers was the best way forward. So that was really about embracing the fact that consumers are a really powerful force in our marketplace. And actually, if you get them on your side and you inspire them to do things, they will back you. And I think that has given, we've seen that over the last 20 years. We've had some fantastic customers who supported us through that period, and we've continued to grow throughout.
Yeah, yeah. And currently, you say it's consumers and individuals and businesses. So yeah. Where is the biggest sector there? Is it business or consumers?
Well, I think what we're seeing is probably the biggest growth potential right now is in the business sector. Mm. So we're seeing a lot of businesses like RE100 who are committing to going renewable and looking at their carbon footprint. And what we're beginning to see is businesses particularly saying, actually, we're going to really struggle in getting future business unless we sort our own climate impact out. And we can demonstrate to our own customers what we're doing on climate change. So I think there's some really important, we've seen the whole ESG part, the investment side, the call for pensions to go green. I think the whole pressure in the marketplace for investors to look at how we solve climate change, how we move to net zero, has been a really important driver, and we're seeing that definitely come through in the business sector very strongly.
Okay, well, let's if you could, some financial highlights for the last 6 months, if you could, Juliet.
Yeah, so overall, obviously, what we've seen is, as a business, COVID has, we've seen an impact of COVID, which has dropped our overall supply because business customers have used less. Mm. Actually, because we had a growth in customers towards the end of the year last year, so the overall customer numbers are up, the overall demand has actually been pretty good, and we've seen growth in demand during that period as well. So where we have seen a decrease is in gas volumes to domestic households, and that really has been driven by the fact that we've seen an increase in temperature at the beginning of the year. So that's our kind of underlying position. So growth in customer numbers, growth in revenue, but drop in gas volumes going forwards. And what that has then led through is, if we look at the overall impact on the business, so the half year, we've ended up with slight loss. And most of that has been driven through. So the underlying business has actually done pretty well during this period and has been cash generative. But what we've also had is that we see something called estimated credit losses, which is a requirement, an auditing requirement, to really look at the overall economic impact on our industry and what we expect potential bad debts to be going forward in the future. So that's been a non-cash hit in the year of about 1.9. We also took the opportunity to look. So we have an asset base where we own some renewable generation as well. And that has always been valued at cost on our balance sheet. And one of the things, some of our investors are slightly struggling really understanding what the true value of that was. So we decided to actually do a proper valuation of that. And what that's meant is that we've got a slight adjustment for one site, but the overall value on the balance sheet is increased by about 19 million. But as a result, we're seeing more flow through and depreciation into the P&L. So there's been a couple of shifts around in there. But overall, we're actually really pleased because most of the underlying impact has been positive from a cash point of view. All the big impacts have really been non-cash impacts and the restructuring of the balance sheet. So overall, pretty happy with where we are mid-year.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And like I said, operationally, you know, what's happening and what are you looking to do there? What are you happy with and what's changing, if anything?
So, yeah, so what we've seen is lockdown, we managed to get everybody working remotely pretty much. We've had a very limited use of the furlough scheme, so actually pretty minimal on that. And we're now hiring for new roles. So we're seeing particularly hiring roles in technology and IT and business development around EV charging and our EV propositions. So we're now actively recruiting into the business to support the growth for the rest of the year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you mentioned here you've broken the RNS down and you're talking about your cracking customer services platform. What's happening there?
So at the beginning of the year, we announced that we were investing in a new customer service platform. And that was really driven out of the fact that our platform was not as flexible as we wanted it, didn't offer us the ability to upgrade and push out new propositions to consumers, and also was very clunky in terms of we had a lot of manual workarounds on the system. So we decided to invest in the system, and that immediately had an impact in our overheads because we reduce the overall headcount required to actually look after the customer base immediately. And that has been, we've been working through transferring all our customers onto that system this year. And we're about 85% of the way through. We're just working through the last parts, particularly around smart on that. And then we should be fully transferred this year onto the new platform.
Yeah. Now, it's a catchy title, but take us through what the Zap Map is and what's happening there.
So Zap Map was an investment that we made just under 2 years ago now. And we took a minority stake in there and then worked with them strategically. This summer, we decided to convert. We had a loan in place, a convertible loan. We decided to convert that loan into a majority stake in the business. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, part of their roadmap was that ZapMap is a mapping service for EV customers. So what that means is that as an electric vehicle driver, one of the key barriers to buying an electric vehicle is range anxiety. Mm-hmm. So people concerned about where they're going to drive to and can they charge. And ZapMap offers a service for free at the moment that allows people to go online or have the app and basically map a journey so they know how to get there and where they can charge on the way. That was the first step. The second part of the strategy was then to say, okay, so each of these charging points potentially are owned by different network providers. They all have their own charging methodologies, or they have different cards, or they have different apps. And what we have been working on is an interoperable package, which allows people to use our app to pay on all the different networks. So we now have the basic software installed, and we've launched it with our first network partner, Engenie. And what that means is that our app will then connect into their network, and you will be able to pay through our app for that network. And we're now working on signing up more networks so you can charge any network through our app.
Yeah, and how long do you think that'll take before you're, you know, fully installed and operational?
So we hope to be across 200 Engini sites by the end of this month. We've got three other platforms that we're talking to at the moment. So our ambition is to get those on board by the end of the year. And then we'll just be, it will really be then how fast can we roll it out, and what overhead and requirement internally in the business will we need to make sure that we can basically do the commercials. A lot of it is commercial work. A lot of the technology work, there's some integration work to set up each one, but the base is there now.
Yeah. Okay. And looking forward, Juliette, what else are you excited about? What's getting you sort of up in the morning and thinking, yes, this is going to be good?
Well, I think really we spent some time over the last 2 years really understanding the strategy and where we wanted to be as a business. So I think really seeing that come to fruition by being able to offer all our customers a proposition on decarbonising their electricity, decarbonising their heat, and decarbonising their transport. So that is really an integrated package. So when you want to come and talk to us, you can talk to us about any of those areas, and we can support you in decarbonising. So today, if you want to come and talk to as a business customer, we can help you with your EV charging needs in your office. We can support if you had a fleet, we can support that through ZapMap. And if you've got an employee workforce, we can support you with information about how to create a green transport and travel to work scheme for your business. So that's what I'm excited about, is really being able to make simple offerings, simple propositions for people to use in what is quite a complex market.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Juliette. Well, on the podcast every day, I highlight the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets platform. So to get on there, someone has hit that follow button on your page, or several people. So for people listening right now, like the sound of where you are, but are not yet following you, please give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button and add good energy to their watch list, please.
So I think the first reason is that the net zero carbon target by 2050 is going to be driving the whole of the UK to reducing its carbon. And Good Energy is at the heart of that with our propositions for both business and domestic. I think the second reason is we've already just demonstrated that we can grow and that we have a resilience through what is a really difficult period. And we've demonstrated that we continue to operate, we can continue to deliver great service, and we're going to be delivering more propositions going forwards. And I think the final part is we've got the right people in the right place, and we are now hiring today to bring more fantastic people into the business to help us grow.
Excellent stuff. Juliette, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin. That's brilliant. Lovely to talk to you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.